Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend. I'm going to back up a little and then go forward. I'm going to back up first to the second reading that we had a moment ago from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And if you were listening, you noticed there was not really a lot of theology in that reading. It was just a greeting. It was just a formal Greek greeting that Paul wrote in his letter to this Greek town of Corinth. Paul called to be introducing himself. Paul called to be an apostle of Christ by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. And probably Sosthenes was Paul's scribe, because Paul had serious problems with his vision. In fact, he could have been blind for a while. So Paul is writing this letter to the people of Corinth, whom he has visited and actually established the church there. But he writes this letter to them to correct some issues and problems and misconceptions and bad behavior that they have. And I say this to you all, not really as a joke and not as a compliment either, but when we read Paul's letter to the Corinthians, it's like, you know, there's something eerily familiar about this. Because he's writing to people who have divided themselves into little factions and cliques. He is writing to people who drink too much. He's writing to people who are caught up in sexual immorality. He's writing to people who don't behave well at Mass. And he's admonishing them about their behavior. And he's encouraging them to live a holy life. He's telling them you can live. But all we got today was the greeting. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ and Sosthenes, to the church that is at Corinth. The church that is at Corinth. And that would have been one church. And then you had the church that was in Galatia, that he wrote the letter to the Galatians. And then you had the church that was at Ephesus, and he wrote letters to that church. And these letters, we should read this letter to the Corinthians as if it was written to the people of Bay St. Louis. I write. And we read that, and we hear that. And if you've never read Paul's letter to the Corinthians as if it was written to you and to your family and to this church community, you should do that sometime. I would encourage you to take it up and read it, and not just the letter to the Corinthians, but all of them. All of these letters written to us to help us understand our faith. And our faith is so rich, and it's so deep, and it's so beautiful. And you're never going to get it all in a 10 or 15 minute homily on Sunday once a week. It has to be studied. It has to be cultivated. It has to be lived and breathed and prayed through. So we had the introduction to St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And then in the gospel, we have John the Baptist, the gospel of John, John the Evangelist. John the Evangelist didn't write the gospel. John the Evangelist wrote the gospel, but this first part is about John the Baptist, a different person. And John the Baptist is there by the Jordan River. And he looks up and he sees Jesus. And he sees Jesus, and what does he say? Behold the Lamb of God. Now I could, I suppose, go over here to the high school or maybe to the elementary school and ask the kids over there, tell me about the Lamb of God. Who is the Lamb of God, right? And maybe some wouldn't know, and maybe some wouldn't know. I bet I could do the same thing with the adults. Maybe even some of the adults right here in this room listening to me right now. Tell me about the Lamb of God. Who is the Lamb of God? What is that? Even though at Mass, four times, as we get close to communion, we're going to say, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us, right? So what about this Lamb of God? John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." This notion of the Lamb in the Old Testament, the part of the Bible before Jesus, the notion of the Lamb. The Lamb was an animal that was important to the Jewish people. It was important because it provided wool, it provided meat. It was important because it was a symbol of gentleness and purity and innocence. But perhaps the most important thing was that the Lamb was the center of the Passover meal. Okay? And the Jewish people were commanded to take a lamb, to sacrifice a lamb, to eat that lamb, and to remember their escape from slavery. So the Lamb of God and the Paschal Lamb and this kind of central element. And Moses is the one that taught them about the Passover, right? God commanded them through Moses to have the Passover lamb and to sacrifice the lamb, to eat the lamb. But long before Moses came, 500 years before Moses, there was Abraham. And you should all know this. And I spoke about this. I preached about this not that long ago. But it's worth hearing again, okay? 500 years before Moses was Abraham. And Abraham had a son named Isaac. And Isaac was promised to Abraham for a couple decades before he finally had a child. And Abraham waited patiently and waited patiently and waited patiently. And finally, Abraham had a son in his old age when he was already an old man. And then that son grew into young maturity. He became a young man, maybe even just a boy. And God said to Abraham, and this is bizarre for us to understand, I know. But God said to Abraham, "Take your son Isaac and sacrifice him." And so Abraham took Isaac, and they walked out into the wilderness a long way, and they came to a place called the Mount of Moriah. And the city of Jerusalem is built on the Moriah mountain range, okay? So Abraham and Isaac come to the Mount of Moriah, where Jerusalem is today. And Abraham takes Isaac up the hill and loads the wood of the sacrifice on his back. Y'all remember this? Loads the wood on his back. And so Isaac, the son, is carrying the wood of the sacrifice up the hill of Moriah near Jerusalem. And he says to his dad, he says, "Dad, here's the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb of sacrifice? Here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice?" I guess Abraham hasn't told him yet. What is Abraham's response to Isaac? We should know this. We should know this. It immediately should jump into our mind what his answer was. And that's why I'm preaching about it, even though I preached about it just 6 months ago, okay? Here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? And Abraham says to Isaac, "God will provide, the Lord will provide the lamb." Then he takes his boy and he ties him up and he puts him on top of the wood and he goes to sacrifice him. And then the angel of God stays his hand and says, "Do not touch the boy." And then Abraham sees a ram caught in the thicket by its horns and sacrifices that and puts it on the wood and burns it up. And then they go back and it's like, okay, that's very bizarre. What just happened there, okay? And now we come to the gospel today. And we know all this. This is all in our heart and in our mind. It should be. But I know we're all on our way too. And we hear John the Baptist look up and see Jesus and say some very heavy words. Some words just steeped in deep meaning. He looks up at Jesus and he says, "Behold the Lamb." And we can fill in our minds what? The Lamb that God will provide for the sacrifice. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. And so we have in Jesus who he is, the Lamb of God, and what he does takes away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Pretty important, huh? Pretty important. It is. It is. But not everybody standing there got it. Just like some of us might not completely get it. Even myself, I don't pretend that I understand the full weight of it. But we grow in this understanding of who Jesus is. The Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb, but he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is both God and man. Jesus is the tiny baby that we had in the crib over there, right? And he's a full-grown man. Jesus is a victim for our sins, but Jesus is at the same time the victor over sin. He is the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. And think about a lamb. What is a lamb? Innocent. What is a lamb? Meek. What is a lamb? Not threatening. Does God want us to be afraid of him? No, God wants us to be able to approach him, to see him. Today we hear this one sentence description of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. For the Jewish people, the Lamb had a vicarious role. The Lamb was placed there to play a role. And the role was the victim. And what they would do would be, they would take this lamb and they would slaughter the lamb as an atonement for their sins. They would make a sacrifice of this animal as an effort to forgive their sins. Now, this may seem like a bizarre thing, a strange thing to us, that you would take an animal and that you would sacrifice it as a way of atoning for your sins. But that was a very common ritual throughout the world among the Jewish people and the not Jewish people. In fact, the Jewish people were commanded to do that. And one of the reasons they were commanded to do it, unfortunately, is because they worshiped these animals as well. And God said, no, don't worship those animals. You sacrifice those animals to me. And this developed, but was all pointing forward to something. It was all pointing forward, not to something, but it was all pointing forward to somebody. And when somebody came, all the other sacrifices ended because the one sacrifice was fulfilled. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So here we are tonight. And I'm going to walk over to that altar in just a few minutes from now. And I'm going to stand behind the altar on the other side of the altar. And I have the book in front of me. And I'm going to be saying a lot of words, right? I'm going to be saying long prayers. And you're going to be out there drifting off and looking up at the roof and looking at your watch and scratching yourself. Okay. And I know that because I look up sometimes and I see, okay? But you're doing that because it's hard to pay attention because you're not sure if I'm talking to you or who I'm talking to, because most of what I'm saying doesn't make any sense if I was talking to you, right? because I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to God. I'm praying, okay? Praying to God. But then, after those long prayers, and I'm praying for this group of people and that group of people, and I'm praying for the Pope, and I'm praying for the Bishop, and I'm praying for this and that, and hopefully you're following along praying with me. That's really what you're supposed to be doing. Then, when we get to the end, then I'm going to say something to you. And maybe you'll be paying attention and maybe you won't. Maybe I will have lulled you into a place where, is he talking to me or is he not talking? What's going on here? Okay. But it's very important because I'm going to say some powerful words to you that I hope you appreciate the depth and the weight of. Because I'm going to take the bread and the wine that I have consecrated into the body and blood of Christ, into the Lamb of God. And I'm going to hold them up before you. And I'm going to say to you, behold what? Who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Now, where does all that come from? What do we mean by the Lamb of God? What is that? Well, there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it. And as we journey together here, deepening in our faith and growing in our faith, understanding more and more the beauty of it, tonight we come and I hope you hear that Christ is present and he has come to you to take away your sins, not to threaten you, but as a lamb sacrificed and then to be consumed, to be eaten, to nourish us on our way. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who laid down his life for you and for me. The Lamb who appears to have been slain, but is alive and in heaven now before the throne of God, interceding for us, but also present here to us to nourish us and to strengthen us.